And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Krumrie. An Alaska Airlines plane featuring a design by Alaska Native artist Crystal Whirl will make its inaugural flight from Anchorage to Juneau tomorrow. The plane is scheduled to land at the Juneau Airport at 9:25 a.m. It will continue on to Sitka, Ketchikan, and Seattle. Whirl's blue, white, and pink design depicts salmon in Northwest Coast formline. The newly painted plane is named Hatkwani, or Salmon People, according to Alaska Airlines. It's the first time they've ever featured a language besides English on the main door of an aircraft. Whirl recently designed a stamp for the U.S. Postal Service. She also painted the Elizabeth Peratrovich mural downtown Juneau, and her art appears on a Juneau ambulance. Last year, she replaced an Anchorage mural depicting local history with one featuring a colorful formline nature scene. Alaska Airlines Salmon 30 Salmon 2, which flew the milk run from Seattle through Southeast Alaska for more than a decade, took its last flight in April. Alaska Congresswoman Mary Peltola and other House Democrats say they're worried the U.S. Supreme Court is about to weaken the Indian Child Welfare Act to the detriment of Native children and their tribes. Peltola, the first Alaska Native person elected to Congress, previously worked as a tribal court judge, where child custody cases were a mainstay. At a congressional roundtable Tuesday, Peltola addressed the importance of keeping children with their families or placing them within their tribe.
I think for every single human group ever in existence, children are precious. Children are our future. And certainly for Natives, it is no different.
The Supreme Court is expected to rule soon on a challenge to ICWA brought by the state of Texas and a group of non-Native adoptive parents. They say the Indian Child Welfare Act makes unconstitutional distinctions based on race. Supporters of ICWA say it's based on tribal affiliation. Congress passed a law to reverse the wholesale alienation of children from their tribes. The New York University law professor Maggie Blackhawk says the trend reached terrifying levels by the 1950s and 60s.
State governments separated over 100,000 of the estimated 400,000 Native children from their parents and placed those children in homes with no political, cultural, or linguistic connection to their nations.
The case is called Brackeen v. Holland. The justice heard arguments in November. A ruling is expected by the end of June. Across Alaska, parents are struggling to find health care. To find childcare. This is especially true in rural Alaska, where the lack of childcare is leaving parents with few alternatives. Some parents are having to skip work or cut their hours. Some are even choosing to leave their communities in search of other options. And there are also barriers for childcare providers who want to work in rural Alaska. KOTZ's Desiree Hagen reports.
Laura Norton Cruz has worked on public health projects in the Northwest Arctic on and off for more than a decade. She co-produced the documentary At Home in Home, Rural Alaska in Crisis, which was released last month. The film, produced earlier this year, is set in Kotzebue. Norton Cruz says Kotzebue, like the majority of Alaska, is a childcare desert.
Yeah, childcare desert is when there is a greater need for childcare than there are childcare centers available to provide that care or access to it. There's also difficulties in affordability.
A 2021 report from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce found that over 61% of Alaskans live in areas without sufficient childcare. That same report found that more than 3 out of 4 parents missed work during the 3-month study due to lack of childcare. Norton Cruz says within the last year, communities from Utqiagvik to Cordova have lost childcare centers, and providers have struggled to open new facilities.
There's a lot of barriers related to cost, to startup, to infrastructure, to workforce training, to being able to pay enough to be able to attract workers. I mean, these issues are affecting urban Alaska, too. Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau, you know, all these places are struggling, but even more so in rural communities.
One of the main barriers in rural communities is how hard it is for providers to get licensed with the state. Norton Cruz says state licensure ensures childcare providers have high standards of quality and care. And it's also important for low-income families who receive childcare assistance.
But if you have a licensed childcare center, they can accept childcare assistance.
For families receiving assistance, a state licensed facility is their only option to avoid paying out of pocket. Norton Cruz says a licensed facility is also important for foster children. Without access to licensed care, many foster children in the Kotzebue region under 5 are forced to leave, which separates them from their community and culture. Kotzebue has not had a state-licensed child care center since the last facility closed over a decade ago. Kotzebue residents Tracy and Bailey Schaefer have been working to establish a licensed facility in their free time.
So we both have other jobs. Bailey's leaving her job. I am not leaving my job. But so, I have a whole nother full-time life job.
The mother-daughter team hoped to get certified by this summer. They are encountering challenges in licensure. Tracy says a one-size-fits-all model doesn't work in rural Alaska.
It is an amazing amount of paperwork that has to be submitted, and in many cases...
She says there are several hurdles in the rigorous process and no compensation for rural residents interested in obtaining a license. Paperwork and background checks can take several weeks. The Schaefers need to get their home approved from a statewide fire marshal located in Anchorage. And in order to get certified, they need to be trained at a licensed facility. For Bailey, this can mean traveling to Anchorage for extended periods of time. In a scene from the documentary, Tracy talks about the financial and emotional toll of traveling back and forth.
It's very expensive to stay and can be fairly overwhelming. You know, we live in a place where butter costs 10 bucks, like a pound. So it's, you know, you can't ask someone to work for free.
Norton Cruz says the lack of childcare is not just affecting parents. According to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Alaska's childcare shortage costs the state $165 million per year. She says for Kotzebue, it's not only resulting in workforce vacancies at entry-level jobs.
Attorneys, doctors, pharmacists, nurses, teachers have all had to leave the region because they haven't been able to find reliable child care.
Norton Cruz believes one solution is more support for child care from policymakers. She says the child care grant program, the state-funded program that subsidizes wages for licensed facilities, hasn't increased for 10 years.
Workers are not making livable wages, and the solution is that there needs to be public investment.
Still, Norton Cruz says she's hopeful as the issue gains more attention. In early April, the Dunleavy administration established a child care task force. There are two bills in the legislature, HB 89 and HB 46, which, if passed, would support state funding for child care facilities. In Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagen.
Unalaska is 1 week into its annual community cleanup event, and dozens of volunteers have already removed over 400 bags of trash from local beaches and roads. One of those people is Harmony Wehner. She grew up between Unalaska and the Bristol Bay region, and now she's a fellow with Alaska Sea Grant, a conservation and research organization that works to protect Alaska's oceans. Wehner's focus specifically on marine debris. She says a lot of the trash on Unalaska's shores and shores around the state didn't originate locally. Currents swirl around the Pacific Ocean and Bering Sea, carrying refuse that lands on local beaches.
This isn't a problem that is coming from communities that are, you know, leaving chip bags on the beach. It's a larger issue of lost fishing gear from industrial fishing or distant source debris from Asia.
One of the biggest concerns with marine debris is microplastics. Things like plastic bottles and styrofoam break down into smaller pieces that fish can mistake for food, introducing plastic into the food web.
They ingest it, and the stomachs of the animals just can't process human-made materials like that. So it sticks around and either gets absorbed into the body or can lead to the death of that animal.
Unalaska's community cleanup runs through May 15th. The municipality of Anchorage's chief fiscal officer is resigning. CFO Grant Utrenka last day will be May 19th. He had only served in the position in a permanent capacity since January. He began as acting CFO in September. According to the mayor's office, Utrenka will help find a replacement and work with the new CFO through the transition. In the announcement from the mayor's office, Utrenka and Mayor Dave Bronson exchanged well wishes. The CFO manages city spending and oversees several departments, including purchasing, treasury, and property appraisal. Utrenka's predecessor, Travis Frisk, had only served as CFO for a year when he resigned. Since Bronson took office in July of 2021, more than a dozen executives have turned over due to firings and resignations. That includes the municipal manager, chief of staff, municipal attorney, human resources director, chief of police, library director, and health director. It's just about 60 degrees here in Juneau. You're listening to KTOO.